The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Ross Briley and Gareth Topham in the studio. Two jumpers on Thursday afternoon. The racing comes from Ludlow and Taunton over obstacles. We also have all-weather racing from Southwell in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. Four meetings to look forward to then domestically, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. And yeah, looking forward to both today's racing and obviously looking forward to tomorrow, where we've got a real competitive looking card at Ludlow.
We have. We're going to look at three races at Ludlow in just a moment or two. But before we get there, let's start by talking about some of the news stories. And the big news story as far as jockeys and personnel are concerned surrounds Johnny Murtagh. He's called an end to his career, quite a career as well, I might add. He was in the saddle for 26 seasons and had 106 victories at the highest level. There was nobody better on the day, was there? The big day. Johnny Murtagh seemed to get it right more often than not, Pimmy.
Oh, he did. I mean, an absolutely wonderful career. And he was the top of his game. And he was the call-to jockey, wasn't there? When there was a good spare ride going wanting for whatever reason, he was the man that lots of the top trainers went to. And very rarely did he let them down. He seemed to be Mr. Cool. He seemed to be in the right place at the right time. And his record speaks for itself. High class pilot, and again, a lot of the other jockeys will breathe a sigh of relief that he's not sitting next to them, he's not upsized them inside the final furlong, and that he's going to ply his trade and spending more of his time training. And if his training career is going to be anything like his riding career, then obviously Johnny Murtagh is still going to be around for a long, long time. I think the beauty about this is his timing, you know.
Yeah.
He had a fantastic year last year. Very, very difficult to reproduce those results this season as well. And so he's put his hands up and said, yeah, okay, let's draw stumps, let's call time, and let's move on, you know. And, you know, he's been a credit to himself and to the sport, really, the way he's handled himself over the years. And I say, at least we're not losing him for good. We're going to see plenty of him. He's got a great support in Mr. Tinkler, hasn't he, with many of his horses, and I'm sure he will do equally as well training as he has done riding.
Yeah, he just says he simply doesn't have time to focus on both anymore, which and like I say, he's done it at the right time, hasn't he? His training career is just starting to take off. If he can't commit to riding at the level that he used to, then it's the right time to go out, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is, yeah, of course it is. And again, it's better he's gone out now on the high than trying to do both and possibly not get to the standard that he would like, both trying to ride and train at the same time.
Okay, so Johnny Murtagh then now a trainer rather than a jockey and a trainer as he was last year. So good luck to Johnny Murtagh with that. Let's talk about the Cheltenham Festival, Pimmy, because it's only a matter of days away now. We're less than 2 weeks away from the big festival. And a bit of bad news for Q-Card owner Bob Bishop. And he also has Theatre Guide. Neither of them will be going to the festival.
Yeah, I'm afraid double whammy for Bob Bishop in the case of his two horses not going to make it. But, fella, we've seen it, haven't we? We know Sprinter Sacra's not going to get there.
Yep.
These two guys aren't going to get there. There will be some fall beside the wayside even before Cheltenham comes along, because training of them is just a blooming nightmare. And to get them to Cheltenham in one piece on the big day is a feat in itself, let alone winning. You know, I know it just simply by training the few pointer-pointers I've got. Simply yesterday, I had a horse that was in absolutely top form, looked magnificent, worked as well as he ever done 2 days before, and we take him to the gallops yesterday, canter him up, he's walking back down, having had his little bit of work, and his back end goes. And all of a sudden, running on Sunday, he's out the window to think, well, we took him straight to the vets, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he's not well, he's not right. And it's just so easily can happen. So a lot of these trainers, owners, not so much possibly the jockeys, A lot of sleepless nights between now and that opening day of Cheltenham.
Yeah. Yeah, his hard work just getting him there, I can imagine. And especially when you look at what Colin Tizard says. He said that he looked $1 million, so he took him up the gallops and then realised that he'd come back lame. So.
Yeah, and he sounds more like muscular than anything else. So muscular they can work with. It's obviously a leg or a stress fracture or something like that's going to take longer. Hopefully, if it is only muscular, then with a bit of treatment and physio, that can come out in a fairly short period of time, you know. But Cucard, how many times has he been to the festival? He's not missed a beat for the last four or five, has he?
No, well, he won the champion bumper in 2000 and... What was it? 2010.
10, so yeah. He's been there 10, 11, 12, 13 anyway, hasn't he? Mm. So he's been to the last four, and I suppose you get a bit blasé about it, don't you?
You think?
Well, you think... Well,
do you think Cucard got blasé about it?
We think we get four times, we'll be there again this year, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, and you get to less than 2 weeks away, and that bubble is burst.
Yeah, unfortunate. Like I say, it's hard enough getting them there, let alone winning the festival. So.
Tell me about it. Tell me. And again, you know, the trainers, even the trainer like Mullins, Henderson, Jonjo, with big strings going there, somebody will have a hiccup along the way, most certainly.
Well, we say every year, don't we? I mean, Nicky Henderson's without Sprinter Sacre this year. A couple of years ago, they struggled to get caught or start at the Gold Cup.
Yeah,
pulling up in the race anyway.
That's
so,
right.
So yeah, you see it with all kinds of, no matter how big the yard is.
No. That we are all, what's the word I'm trying to look for? We're all at the beck of the beast, and a lot of the times it would be nice if they could talk to us because.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what's wrong with them some days is a nightmare.
It'd be all right, wouldn't it, if you could talk to them?
Well, it would make
life
easier.
Do you fancy a step-up in trip? Yeah, go on then. I'll try
to do that. What about those blinkers? Should we take them off you this week, or are you gonna not try again? Yeah.
Why weren't you going in the stalls? What were you playing up for?
Yeah, why, you're meant to come out the stalls when they get open, not go underneath them beforehand, you know?
Yeah. Anyway,
while
we're on the subject of winners at Cheltenham as well, do you have a festival banker at this moment, Pimmy? One that you'd like to...
I do, to be honest, Mark, and it's an interesting one, and I think it might be one that will confuse one or two people.
Right.
For me, this horse has never, ever, ever had the recognition he deserves. He's won 18 Grade 1 races, and yet every time, everybody wants to take him on.
Hmm.
And I'm not going to take him on this year. I thought his run at Leopardstown was plenty good enough last time. I know one or two thought Arcona was eye-catching. We've got plenty of positive vibes about the new one. You know, you've got My Ten to Yours, who's very impressive this season. But this boy's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. He knows where that winning post is at Cheltenham, and I think he'll be first past it again this year.
Hurricane Fly.
You've got it in one.
Yeah. Hurricane Fly, yeah. I mean, I can see what you're saying. I mean, he does get a lot of stick. I mean... People don't warm to him, which is phenomenal given his record.
I mean, he should be on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, the next statue that goes up at Cheltenham should be one of him. But for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to get that recognition. And again, I don't think Willie Mullins possibly gets the recognition because talking to people that are in the know in the Mullins yard, he is not an easy horse to train.
Hmm.
He has lots of issues, this fella.
Yeah.
So he's got to be trained to the minute every time he goes, basically. And... I think he's been a credit to Mullins and a credit to himself, really. And as I say, don't really feel that the media, the racing public, I'm not so sure how he's warmed to in his native Ireland, I'm not sure, but certainly over here, for me, he's never rated as the horse he should have been rated for.
Yeah, and like I say, hard to get right. He never really looks flashy in the paddock. He's not one of these that looks really well.
No, he never takes the eye. No. You know,
he won in Leopardstown last time with a bruised foot, or he'd had a bruised foot beforehand.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So you know, they were up against it to get him there on the day, and they got him there. And despite all the negatives prior to the race, he still goes and does the job.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think you give him credit where it's due. And I would say he's quite juicy. Is he 3-1, a bit less than 3-1 still?
11-4.
11-4. Might drift out to 3-1, might he, on the day?
He might do, yeah.
People like you fancy Arcona.
I quite like Arcona, yeah.
Yeah, we've got one or two boys in there, certainly Niall Hannity. He likes the look of the new one.
Mm.
And one or two are in the My Ten to Yours camp as well. So, you know, opinions vary.
Mm.
I don't know how many's in that Hurricane Fly camp.
Yeah, I think the only thing that lets Hurricane Fly down is his Cheltenham record, and that sounds stupid considering he's won two champion hurdles, but they weren't the strongest renewals back then when he won those, and they said that you have to be a 170 rated horse to win a champion hurdle. He hasn't actually run up to 170 at the festival yet. And this year, with so many competitors that could really take him on, the likes of the new one, My Tent Are Yours, and the one that I like, Our Connor, I just think he's got to be at his best this year, and he hasn't necessarily done so at Cheltenham in the past.
Well, that's you've made your case.
Yes.
That is certainly. We'll put it to the jury.
Yeah.
And see what comes of it. And obviously, you know, that's the great thing about Cheltenham especially. Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's got a view on why a horse can win.
Yeah.
And vice versa, why a horse can't win.
Either way, it's just set up to be one of the best champion hurdles we're likely to see. I mean,
hopefully. I mean, that's what we want on the opening day, isn't it? Get the old blood pumping around the body alongside a bit of Guinness, and it'll be happy days.
It will, yes, and not too far away now. What are we, 13?
I'm getting, you know, bad to sleep on a night now.
Yeah, giddy.
I need to have a couple of bottles of wine and a whiskey just to nod me off now.
Right.
Excitement is getting there.
Like a kid on Christmas Eve.
Well, similar. The problem is, on the eve of Cheltenham, I often think the next day isn't going to arrive. And then when it does arrive, I'm usually in bits.
Right. Fair enough. Well, good luck with it this year, Pimmy. Are you going down to Cheltenham this year?
Yeah. It's the same ritual as we've done for many years now. We go down on the Monday,
race
Tuesday, Wednesday, come back home, watch it on telly on the afternoon on Thursday, and I believe Gold Cup Day this year, the pin is in the William Hill studio.
Yeah.
Now, whether the pin's in the William Hill studio just for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, or whether he's in for Dundalk at night.
Yeah, I've seen the rota pin, you're down for 9:30.
I think we need that questioning. Definitely.
I'll leave that to the powers that be. You can talk to them about it. Anyway, let's move on to Thursday's racing, Pimmy. As you mentioned, you're going to look at a few races at Ludlow. We've got the 3 o'clock, the 3:30, and the 4 o'clock on the shortlist at the moment. The 3 o'clock is a mare's handicap hurdle over 3 miles, and Dancing Till Midnight was in pretty good form when first with Noel Feely, Harry Fry, sorry. But the wheels kind of came off a little bit at Haydock last time. What do you make of him? It's a mare's race.
Yeah, it is mare's running. Well, first of all, I think it must be Ludlow's biggest day of the year tomorrow, because some fantastic prize money on offer. Start with a 6 grander, 12.5 grand, 9, 20, 10, and 4 and 6. So a great day's racing, good prize money on offer at Ludlow, and he's in the capable hands of Simon Sherwood now, Sharky Sherwood, as he was in the day when he was riding. Great pilot, great guy, and I'm sure he's going to do a good job following Bob Davies's footprints there. But that opening mare's handicap hurdle, interesting race, you're dead right. But Dance Till Midnight, we haven't seen her for a long, long time, have we?
Yeah, 400 odd days,
so that's a slight negative. But to be fair, in this day and age, they can come back after that length of absence and still be fit enough to win. Interesting, the tongue tie's fitted for the first time as well. So you've got to take a few things on trust there, that she's fit, tongue tie's fitted for a reason. But if she does turn up fit and ready to rock and roll, well, then she's certainly a player, that is for sure. But I thought there was a couple in here that you could take a look at. I thought Still Believing was interesting, although got a £7 penalty. That penalty's taken off by Conor Ring claiming his 7, but you know she was in good form when she won last time out, Still Believing, and they've obviously gone to the well fairly quickly, simply because A, she's more than likely going up more than £7, or B, they thought the chance of 5.5 grand was too good to take a chance at. So that's interesting, Still Believing. I thought the interesting one here for me was Midnight Katira. I think that's how you pronounce it, the Alan King runner. Yeah. She last run 71 days ago, and I didn't think she ran too badly behind Kay Fleur. That was here over course and distance of 2.5 miles, steps up to 3 tomorrow. I thought that wasn't too bad a run, to be honest. Only beaten 9 lengths on that occasion. Again, I think she's nicely handicapped racing off 11 stone tomorrow, and I'd definitely give her a big, big chance. So Midnight Cara is for me. And she's more than likely going to be 4 or 5 to 1. So if you wanted to dibble and dabble each way with the 10 runners, so be it.
Okay. Midnight Qatari then could be the each-way angle in to the 3 o'clock. Moving on to the 3.30 next, and this is a Class 3 handicap chase of 3 miles, and 8 of them in the lineup, so we can have an each-way angle into the race if we want, and quite competitive this, Bimmy. What's caught your eye here?
Well, the Fobra Gold Cup, say no more. I mean, goodness gracious me, that's a prestigious race name to start with, and just over 12.5 grand to the winner. And Bally Oliver, trained by the vivacious Venetia, won this race last year. Hasn't been in quite the same form so far this season, but he does like it round here. I think that's an all-important factor. And again, he got a bit tired last time out at Exeter over 3 miles. This easier track should well suit him. And despite him not being in the form that he possibly was when he came into the race this time last year, still certainly enters the equation. The other horse I thought was interesting, who's basically gone a little bit losing the plot, and that's Forgotten Gold. He fell behind Benny's Mist at Wincanton prior to that, and then prior to that he'd also slightly disappointed, but he has got some good form in the book, Forgotten Gold, and if he can bounce back to some sort of form, he definitely would come into the race with a big chance as well. And the other one I thought was interesting was Firebird Flyer from the Evan Williams yard. Knocked on the door hasn't quite opened, but with a lowly weight on board tomorrow, I thought that could run well. And if you were looking maybe for each way slant, that might be the one. But for the one I'm going for to try and do back-to-backs in the race, Bally Oliver.
Okay. Bally Oliver then in the 3.30, and moving on to the 4 o'clock. This is a National Hunt Novices hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And should we start here with Big Casino, Bimmy, who comes here for the Twist and Davis yard, and was quite... well, putting a decent effort at Kempton last time.
Oh, ran a cracker. Absolute blinder behind Junction 14. Always in the van. Got tired just before home. Third of the 12 horses. Beaten 13 lengths. 2 mile 5 was the trip on that occasion. 2 mile 5 today. Kempton right-handed. Ludlow right-handed. Lots of ticks in boxes for Big Casino. And the Twist and Davis yard are in reasonable form at the moment. So certainly would not put you off him in that... Novices handicap hurdle.
Okay. Are you siding with him then, or are you going to go elsewhere?
No, I'm going to side with Big Casino. I just thought he had lots of ticks in boxes. I thought Bacti was interesting, but he just tends to be finding one too good from him on the last couple of occasions we've seen him. And Seller Scout is an interesting one, because Donald McCain had a number of horses entered into this race. He's taken a couple of the others out. This one represents the stable, and as you rightly know, you don't need me to tell you, Mark Walton, he's had 5 winners in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
On fire.
Yes, very much coming into form at the right time, isn't he, Donald McCain?
But what's he got for the festival?
Yeah.
Tell me one that springs off the tip of your tongue.
I can't think of any off the top of my head that are in the...
Exactly. Meetings. Yeah. So that quality, not quite there at the minute.
Okay, but just to summarise, you're with Big Casino then in the end?
Big Casino in that 4 o'clock, yep. Yeah.
Okay, and let's have a summary of all your selections, Pimmy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your thoughts for Thursday one more time.
You certainly can. In the 3 o'clock, the Mayor's Only Handicap Hurdle, we're going to go for the Alan King-trained Midnight Qataria. In the 3.30, the feature race of the day at Ludlow, the Fobra Gold Cup, I'm going to go for last year's winner, Bally Oliver, for the very much informed Venetia Williams team. And in that 4 o'clock, the Novices Handicap Hurdle, the pin has fallen on Big Casino.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Thursday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, Ross Briley and Gareth Topham in the studio. We have meetings from Ludlow, Taunton and Southwell in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.